Kurt Kleinman lives in Pompton Plains, New Jersey, and has been married for 61 years. The military veteran had a very successful career in pharmacy and was a longtime ski instructor. But how Kurt got to the U.S. and what his family went through is the subject of the new book from Jeremy Dronefield, The Stone Crusher, the true story of a father and son's fight for survival in Auschwitz. Kurt's father, Gustav, a Jewish upholsterer in Vienna, Austria, was arrested by the SS in 1939. Gustav, who kept a secret diary that much of the book is based on, and his 16-year-old son, Fritz, survived four concentration camps, including Buchenwald and Auschwitz, over a six-year period. Gustav's wife, Tini, fought to save her children at that time. Tini sent her eldest daughter, Edith, to England in 1939 to work as a maid. With the help of the Jewish Children's Aid Organization in New York, Kurt was sent to America. But Tini wasn't able to get her teenage daughter, Herta, out of Vienna. In 1942, Tini and Herta were arrested by the Nazis and sent with thousands of other Austrian Jews to a death camp near Minsk. Their family and friends never saw them again. Now 88, Kurt Kleinman is reading about his family in The Stone Crusher. I went to his Pompton Plains home for Kurt's first interview since the book has been published by Chicago Review Press. Eventually, Kurt's wife, Diane, will join us. Kurt, pleasure, and thanks for letting us come into your home today.
Thank you for being here.
And in this book, you were a little boy, 8 when we first meet you in the book, and everyone seems to not be quite sure what's happening, but know that Nazi suppression is starting to build around Vienna. Can you take us back to your early remembrances of what it was like being in Vienna at that time?
Well, even before that, Vienna was a beautiful upbringing for me. We were kids. We lived across the street from a market, and our life was the area. My brother was 7 years older than me, so he had his older group. We had our younger group on the market. We played there, and our activities were great. Hitler came in 38, and I remember it distinctly because my brother was on the street that the night the change came. And the interesting thing, when he came home that night, what he was talking about, in the beginning, the people were throwing stones at the German soldiers. Within 24 hours, everybody was yelling Heil Hitler.
Your father, Gustav, your mother, Tini, your sisters, Edith and Herta, and your brother, Fritz. This is a story about all of the members of your family, but it talks about how Gustav, your father, and your brother, Fritz, were arrested in 1939. That's the first real separation that you had. Tell us about that.
Well, the Nazis came to the house and were looking for my father. I mean, I remember that both those days. And he wasn't home. As a result of that, they said, we'll take your son, and if he turns himself in, we'll let your son go. My father came home, heard about that, and said, I'm going to the police station. And my mother said, don't do it, get out of the house. He decided anyway to go to the police station, which was a couple of blocks away, and there must have been an Austrian policeman at the front door who asked him, why are you here? And he explained it, and fortunately the guy said, get the hell out of here. He came home, and when he came home, he says, I'm going back tomorrow. And my mother said, and this I remember very specifically, she says, get out of the house. If you don't get out of the house, I'll turn on the gas. Eventually, he went out of the house, but he came home that evening because I guess he didn't want us alone in the house and that sort of thing. And the Nazis, with neighbors who were our friends, pointing our apartment out to them, and they came at 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning and took my father.
And so that was obviously a very emotional time for you. But let's talk first of all about this family of yours. It's a story of love, courage, survival, strength, even luck. Did you know you had a special family growing up there?
I knew my father was a hardworking guy. I always said my mother didn't pay that much attention. In other words, today, mothers are very careful of their children. as soon as we were 6 or 7 years old, we were outside the house playing. On a weekend, my mother would make sandwiches. My gang would get together, and there was the question, okay, who's the leader today, and where are we going to go? Are we going to go to a park? Are we going to go hiking? Are we going to go swimming in the Danube Canal? Nobody looked after us. I remember jumping. I didn't know how to swim, and the guys tied a rope around my stomach, and I jumped in the Danube Canal, and they walked on the bank holding the rope. I didn't know how to swim. I even remember taking an inner tube and getting into it and being out in the middle of the Danube Canal, and all of a sudden the tide was too strong and I couldn't get back. And I always kidded, they had to come after me or I would have ended up in Budapest.
Even though the story focuses a lot on your father and your brother's survival from not only from Buchenwald, but also Auschwitz, amazing stories here. I want to first focus on your mother, who went to Minsk along with your sister and was never heard of again, and of all the atrocities that happened there. And you're just reading the book as we speak. What goes through your mind when you are reading about your mom and really finding out even more details, I guess, about how she passed away?
Well, the first that I knew, obviously, when we got letters from Vienna that my mother was killed and so on. But then my brothers, the Nazis kept records of everything, and he found the manifest of the women on the train. And I saw the list of my mother and my sister on that list. So I knew they were killed, and I always said they were murdered there. But I had no idea how. It wasn't until I read the book and how Jeremy Dronefield felt that they were killed when they got to Minsk.
We talk about your mother, Tini. She gave you life when you were born. She gave you a new life when she was able to arrange for you to come to the United States as a young boy. Tell us about the trip over. Tell us about how that all worked out. She really had to pull a lot of strings and really be attentive to detail to get you to come to the United States to avoid what was happening there in Vienna.
Well, her whole thing was to save her children, and she was very upset that she could not save my brother, who was by now in the concentration camp. And as a result of that, she was looking at any way possible. She was able to arrange to get my sister to England and work as a maid. And in order to do that, the irony was, in those days, to get accepted and get a visa, you had to have papers to prove that you were a domestic. And so she arranged with a prominent Jewish family to give her training as a maid. She worked for them for a month, and then they gave her papers that she worked for them for 6 months. And as a result of that, she got to England in 1939. The other thing my mother did, she had a friend who worked with her in her early days and was also at a wedding, who had moved to the United States and got married to a fellow in the United States. She wrote to her and said, "Is there anything you can do to help us?" The friend went to her husband. The husband said, "Wait a minute, let me go to my attorney." And the attorney happened to be Judge Samuel Barnett. And he spoke to them. As a result of that, Judge Barnett and his brother Philip sent the family affidavits and sponsored us to come to the United States. My assumption is that while that was happening, my father and my brother got arrested, and somehow we were not able to use those papers. Somehow my mother was able to get me on, accepted by the German Jewish Children Aid Society that was trying to send children to the United States. By the way, the records show there were roughly 1,000 children that the United States accepted unaccompanied between 1934 and 1945. As a result of that, somehow she got me accepted to come to the United States. I was supposed to go to a family either in Delaware that was willing to accept me, or a family in Connecticut. But somehow Judge Barnett learned that I was coming, approached the society, and said, we sent this family affidavits, and I would like this little boy to come live with us. And that is the result of how I ended up in New Bedford, Massachusetts, with the Barnett family.
We're speaking with Kirk Kleiman, who was the young son in this book, The Stone Crusher, the true story of a father and son's fight for survival in Auschwitz, his father and his older brother surviving not only Buchenwald, but Auschwitz, and both lived to a very long life. Gustav died in 1976 at the age of 84, and Fritz died in 2009 at the age of 85. And your sister, Edith, who you mentioned went to England before you actually came to the United States, died not long ago at the age of 96. There was something inside that the world needed to know from this family, don't you think?
I think very much, particularly even now, 70 years after all of this happened. And you hear about the Holocaust deniers and so on. And I think there is a need to keep documenting these things, to throw this in their faces and say, yes, these things really happened, and we've got to make certain that these things do not happen again.
What's the biggest thing about the Holocaust that makes you angry when it comes to these denials? What goes through your mind? What goes through your heart when you hear these people talk about this?
It's almost difficult to describe, you know, the feeling that goes through you when you hear them talking about it, how they could deny it, when you're not only talking about one family, but you're talking about the record shows 6 million, you know, were killed and so on. But when you read the story and you read the torture and how fortunate and maybe lucky, or the bonding of my father and brother through four camps that helped them survive. It's just amazing, and the luck of the draw, I guess.
Kurt, I want to talk about some of the more of the stories about you, and I want to talk about a harmonica. I want to talk about the word harmonica. What does that mean for you, and tell us the story about the harmonica?
Well, I always enjoyed playing a harmonica, and of course my memory is when it's time for me to leave, my mother sits me on the kitchen table, and the whole thing is, Kurt, behave yourself, you're leaving, be good wherever you are so they'll like you and all that. And then as a going away present, she gives me a beautiful harmonica. And the unfortunate thing is I also have a memory. I'm on the train from Berlin to Lisbon, and unfortunately the train got stopped, and we got off the train, and somehow the some of the soldiers got with me and the kids, and they saw I had a harmonica, and they were playing with it and so on, but unfortunately they never gave it back to me. And I lost the only thing my mother gave me at that point. So that was a terrific loss, obviously, because that was my memory of my mother.
Yeah, it was the last physical thing that she handed to you.
Yeah. It was not only the last physical thing. The unfortunate part was it's the last memory I have of my mother.
But Kirk Kleiman does remember one of the things that he loved to do with his mother, and that was cook, whether it be pancakes or Wiener Schnitzel. Tell us about that.
You got to remember, I was the baby in the family. And so as a result of that, I used to help my mother cook. And one of the things she made was schnitzel, which every knows is the Viennese veal. And she taught me how to do that. And everyone knows that you get the breadcrumbs and the coating on the veal. Well, the thing that she did, she always dipped it twice in the egg batter and then in the meal. And as a result, you got a better coating of it. And so I always remember that. And later on when I got married, I taught my wife how to do that same thing.
I wanted to ask Diane if I could. Tell me about this man who's sitting across the table from you. It's such an amazing story about the Kleiman family. What is he like? What Does he have these same qualities that we actually see in the book?
I'm crossing my fingers that the answer is going to be good.
Yes, he does have these qualities. And just to go back to talking about food, he makes me once a week pancakes, and he makes me oatmeal twice a week. I didn't know he was a chef, but he's good, and it's really good at it. And I know that his work as hospital pharmacist director, he was very successful and looked up to, and he won awards for being strong and consistent in his work.
So as you read The Stone Crusher, did it bring you even closer to Kurt?
I can't get much closer than I already am. Yeah, because I had met his father and his brother. We've been very close.
You're listening to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. We're talking about the new book, The Stone Crusher, the true story of a father and son's fight for survival in Auschwitz. The father and brother of Kurt Kleiman, who now lives in Pompton Plains with his wife, Diane. And we're talking about the author now, Jeremy Dronefield. How did he get the story?
It was his co-author who encouraged my brother, to give a testimonial at Auschwitz. And I think that togetherness, going through that experience, developed into writing the book together. Somehow, Jeremy Dronefield must have made contact with the co-author and learned about the story. And by that time, they had, obviously the book had been written, and by that time, they also had a copy of the English translation, which I sent to them in Vienna, in Innsbruck, rather. And as a result of that, he got interested in the story, and I learned that Jeremy is the sort of individual that takes other people's stories and is able to put it into a beautiful writing. He's an author, a historian, he's a ghostwriter. And as a result of that, he got interested in the story and decided to put a draft together and submitted it. And when it was accepted by the publisher, put that into a full draft of the book.
He did an amazing job of telling a story of a family, but yet really giving a history lesson to everybody, too, as he was able to mold in the chapters of things that were going on in the U.S. for you, with your sister in England, what had taken place with your mother and your other sister in Minsk, and what was going on with Gustav, your father, and your brother Fritz. The book is published, by the way, by Chicago Review Press. There's a photo of the entire family that's sitting here on the table. I want to find out why that picture is still around, but if you read the book, as Kurt mentions, you find out that your mom, Tini, had a sense that this was around the time in 1938 that this family might not be together for very long as a unit. And all six of you are in this fabulous picture, and you're in a sailor suit in this photo. Tell me about the picture, and tell me about how it survived.
I don't really know how that picture survived, but I always had that picture. Either my brother sent it to me, or my mother sent it to me. Because, by the way, when I arrived in 1941, in March, and for the first 3 to 4 months, I was getting letters from my mother. The interesting thing is, after a while, I couldn't read the German, but I did eventually have them translated. But at any rate, my mother had this feeling, and her goal was thinking that, God forbid something to happen, let's have a picture of the family before we get separated. And somehow she got all of us dressed up. I don't know. I can't remember that sailor suit, whether wearing it before that or anything else. But we all got dressed up. And I always felt my sisters were beautiful girls. And so they were always very attractive. And we had that picture taken.
It's a beautiful photo of you and your family at that time in 1938. One of the letters that you got from your mother is the subject of one of the chapters called A Thousand Kisses, because that's how she signed off to you.
Well, she always wrote the letter, and in every letter, please, could behave yourself, be good, be sure that your uncle thinks the best of you. And then she describes how when she was young, she was, as a matter of fact, at that particular time that she writes, that she had just received a letter from me that I had written while I was at the camp that I had mentioned earlier. And so she started talking about how when in her early days she was at camp and she was a counselor and that everybody thought very well of her and she learned how to row and all that sort of thing. And then she says, you know, when you get too hot, be careful that you don't drink too much water. So she's giving me advice. But that's the way she was.
A true mom. Obviously, Diane, I would think that Teenie would be extremely proud of how her son, Kurt, turned out.
Absolutely. Her son turned out to be a great success, a great father, and a great husband.
Speaking of that, your father, Gustav, 5 American grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren, because of the survival and the courage of this family, the Kleinmans live on.
Not only that, in 1947, by that time, my sister was married in England and had 2 children. Judge Barnett somehow managed to bring her and the family to New Bedford. And in the early days, they lived with us, and he eventually was able to get a job for my sister's husband, Richard. And her claim to fame in the United States was she loved the United States because she always kept saying, I came to the United States with a husband and 2 children, and I ended up with a family of 20.
Now, this book, The Stone Crusher by Jeremy Dronefield, is dedicated to you, Kurt, in memory of your entire family. Knowing when you look at that page early on in this book, on this page it says, to Kurt, in memory of Gustav, Teenie, Edith, Herta, and Fritz. What does that mean to you?
I tell you, I was not aware of that, and I was not aware of it until I opened my own book and opened the leaf and saw the dedication to me. The only thing I can say, it brought tears to my eyes.
What do you want to tell? You know, WBGO is a worldwide jazz radio station, public radio station. What do you want to tell the world about either the Holocaust, your family, the book? What do you want to say to them?
It's almost difficult for me to describe my gratitude to Jeremy Dronefield for putting that together and writing this book. It's beautifully written. It's amazing how he intersperses the memories of myself or my sister among the situation of my father and brothers and brother in the concentration camp. I think it's outstanding reading in spite of many of the other books that I've read about the Holocaust. There's something about it and the way it reads, the humility of some of the stories, the courage of both my father and my brother. It's almost difficult for me to either interpret it or even understand how they were able to have that kind of courage. I'm not sure that I would have had it growing up and being in a similar type situation.
Kurt Kleinman, Diane, his wife Diane, what a pleasure to sit down here to talk to you about The Stone Crusher. I'm sorry I missed the pancakes this morning, but I think you probably didn't want me to eat all the pancakes.
No.
Here.
If I had known you liked pancakes, all it would take an extra handful of powder to make them and so on, I would have gladly made them for you and let you enjoy them.
I certainly appreciate that. I know so much emotion, so many mixed emotions go through this terrific book about your wonderful family. My sympathy goes out to you for your mother and your sister, but what a heroic story about the rest of your family. And thank you so much for sitting down with us, taking some time and sharing your life story.
I definitely want to thank WBGO and you for coming here and doing the interview, just sitting here with you to discuss the situation. And I just can't express my feelings any more than say thank you very much.
61 years of marriage between Diane and Kurt. We wish you many more and continued success and continued good health to both of you.
Thank you very much for coming.
You can hear much more about the Stone Crusher at wbgo.org/journal.